This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We're doing a bit of advertising. This that you're seeing here is for sale as well. The proceeds of this will go to our building fund. But this also symbolize something that we kick off today, CrossFit series. We've got the box owners there as well of CrossFit, but today we do CrossFit, okay, spiritual fitness for the next few months. So I know many of you have got some New Year's resolutions about getting rid of some weight and looking better and all of that, but I want to challenge you this morning, and I want to challenge every single one. All of us can up a level, huh? Amen. Amen. To become more spiritual fit. That's why we made provision for different levels. Where's that note? Did you receive a little card? Did I hand it out to you? Let's just see. Where's mine now? It's stolen again. What's happened to... Okay, let me take somebody's here. Angie, yeah, thank you. Okay, so you've got a little commitment card. I'm going to explain to you what's happening here. So our CrossFit sessions, or how should I say it, the whole theme, consists of four different series. Okay, today we start with the Why Me series, and we're going to talk around servanthood, anything around in that area. Then we're going to move on after a few weeks to the next series, so four series. In each series, you would have the opportunity, if you turn it around, you would see we got three levels. Okay, level one is just, you just attend a service, okay? It's pretty much obvious. If you feel you want to commit to a deeper level, join a small group. For instance, in this specific series that we are doing around servanthood, there was certain material that will only be available in the cell group. For instance, your specific gifting. We're going to discuss that in your cell group and do a kind of analysis survey to help you, to guide you towards that. So that would be some of the tools that we would give to those that say, listen, I want to go a little bit deeper and further. And then also self-study tools that we will give through the cell group for you to work through on your own timing, okay? Forget about the discipleship groups for a moment. And then if you turn around that, turn it around, you would see there's a place for your name, your cell group leader, if you are part of a cell group. And I really encourage you, there's a place for an accountability partner. So we want to encourage you, do this with somebody. This is very straightforward. There's nothing difficult. You can keep it in your Bible, hopefully not just for a bookmark, but something to remind you of the decision and the commitment that you've made this morning over the period of time. Amen. Thank you, Rose. Okay. To remind you of your words, it will haunt you. Okay. I'm not just going to get fit. You'll need to have somebody to help you with that. Okay. It works exactly the same with anything that we make a commitment, because that person will ask you, where are you? I joked about that in the first service. We'll probably get to that. But the accountability partner might have the freedom to ask you at any given time, how's it going with your prayer life? Because you made a commitment to up it a level, okay, to grow. And we're in different places. That's fine. Because that's the challenge that we are facing here. We're all at different places. But God says collectively to all of us, come up. So God is not saying to you, come up to the lady next to you, to her level, to you, the level that you believe the Lord is leading you to. Okay. So if we're in prayer and you sense, listen, I want to up it a level. I want to get more practical about this. I want to attend intercession services on a every morning, okay? So there's a lot of them to choose from. Every morning, 5:30, that means some discipline around the clock and some discipline going to bed, all of that. But we said exercise is easy. And it's wonderful. Thank you, Carol. Okay, so these shirts, you can try them on at the back there. We've got some samples there. We're selling them for $150. And like I said, all the proceeds go towards our building fund. By the way, our building fund, we are in the final stages, as Werner mentioned a little bit earlier on. And we're probably now at 75 to close to 80% of where we are going. So we're going for the last final stages. Man, I'm so excited. And up to now, everything we've seen, everything we've done was done in faith. You know, what you see there is by God's grace. So we really have to focus now on the last bit. You know, when you get into that last final bit and you look at that and you see, I'm tired, you've run that 400 meters and you know, this is it. But we're going to focus. So we're going to give you some feedback soon about that and how you can continue to remain contributing and focus towards what we want to do. Amen. And soon, These are prophetic words. Soon you'll be out of this place. Amen. Huh? I celebrate that day. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. We're going to step out of this place. Thank God for all the good moments we're going to have. But we're going to move over in this year still. And I said this to my wife, you know, the reality of this thing is starting to kick in. Last year we knew that we're going to build a building, but it's going to happen in the next year. This year we know that we're moving. You know, a lot of things happening behind the curtains. I won't bore you with that detail, but we're moving. You know, so I'm so excited, so expectant what God is about to do. Okay, we're talking about the why me this morning. Why did I pick the why me? Because I think it's a question that God often, you know, I ask God often. You know, when I remember the first day when I met Christ, I almost, you know, I think about my own life. Why me? God, why me? Why did you pick me? I'm the biggest sinner. I am a failure. I'm a broken man. But why did you choose me? And that's the loving Father we have. I tell you what, till this day, you have moments in God's presence, and then God would give us flashes about our future and where He's taking us, and then I still ask that question, why me, Lord? And hopefully you also have that question this morning, because that's how God feels about you and me. Why me? Why is God asking me? I listened to a clip this past week about a general overall challenge that the church is facing today. And what they see is a lot of the millennials and the Generation Zs, okay? A lot of them, more than 40% has left the church and become nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not Catholic nuns, okay, please. That's what we're saying. I'm not mocking any, I'm just saying for the pronunciation that you get it. And what they refer to themselves as nuns is not religious to any kind of affiliation. Maybe because of various reasons, but one specific thing is because of this whole concept about what does it mean to be a Christian? How do we understand Christianity? And in many ways, I think this has become a subculture, which is part of an overall culture, but in essence, it's a separate group within that overall culture. And a subculture this morning would be someone or something that has the identity of being something, but in reality is no different than the overall culture. And here's the thing I notice. We use this term, I don't want to say loosely, but you know, I've met different flavors of Christians. But I sometimes wonder, are we all the same? Amen. Have you had that experience? That you sometimes wonder, is this how Christians really act? And I call myself a Christian. It's out there. It's such a broad term. Sometimes so much stuff happens around that name of Christianity. Damage. I can imagine or I can identify that some people sometimes say, I don't want to be one. But the good news is you don't have to pretend. You don't have to act. There's actually more into that thing. And I think there's a little bit more that we can look at into Scripture this morning. That when we say we are a Christian, what does it mean? How does the process look? Because I think sometimes people think as well, I come out from that place into this place, I'm baptized or I changed, and I'm not that anymore on this, but that's still such a collective theme, such a broad, such an abstract theme, that we don't understand that there are certain processes within that collective term of Christianity. And I want to discuss with you quickly three terms or three stages, growth stages possibly, or three-step process, however you want. Three is the common number there that we follow as we come into the kingdom of God, as we enter in. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, John 3. If you want to turn with me, you hear John 3, you must think Nicodemus. Okay. John 3, verse 3 to 5. I want to make a first statement here this morning and say this. We are born, I want you to listen to this. We are born as children. You can take note of that. We are born as children. It's very important that you listen to the specific words I'm using here this morning because I'll explain that. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and asks him certain questions. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and he's asking Jesus after he heard a lot of things about Jesus, about what he saw there, and he talks to him about eternal life. And then Jesus answers Nicodemus in verse 3. Jesus answers and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, say born again, born again, okay? He cannot see Okay, that is the New King James translation version. Sorry. He cannot see the kingdom of God. That is very important. I'm going to come back to that word see. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot, look at that word, enter. We spoke about seeing and entering the kingdom of God. I'm going to come back to that at the end. Okay, I want you just to notice that. When Jesus is approached by Nicodemus, asking him, how can I receive eternal life? Jesus refers to being born again. Otherwise, you need to become small again. How can you be? You can't be born. Adult can't be born. Would you agree with me? Only babies are born. Yeah? So Jesus says something must start small. It must start over. So when we come to, listen, just one more scripture before I explain this. John 1 verse 12 says this. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. In other words, what Jesus is saying, when you start small. You start as a child. You need to be born again. You need to start over. Even if you're an adult, in the spirit, you need to start and be born as a child. And the Bible, I just reminded of that scripture. The Holy Spirit says this. Remember when they asked Jesus, unless you become like a child. We need to start with that process. So when somebody makes that decision to say, Jesus, I surrender my life. Guess what? You've just been, and you surrender to that place. You pray that prayer. You do that with faith. You follow through. Then you became born again. Okay? Are you with me? I'm not preaching stuff that you don't agree with. Please say amen if you agree with me. Hallelujah if you're happy. And amen if you're happy, more happy than that. Okay? You're allowed to talk. I say that every Sunday. You still see you don't talk. Okay. Say the pastor said I can talk in church. As long as it's an amen and hallelujah. What are the words that qualify for that? Okay. So what's happening here? We come into the kingdom. We are born as children of God. So when we are born as children of God and somebody walks into this place, they make a commitment. Hopefully you are within a community because that's the way God would always give birth and he would give you to a family. Okay, he doesn't throw the babies out there and sort yourself out. That's always been, look at the natural. God works through a mother, through a father, to a family. That's why a fatherless generation is chaos, like we know in our own nation. Anyway, we don't have to go down that. It's the reality. God would always work through family. Say thank you to God for family, man. This is an amazing thing. So you might be here this morning, and if you were there, go back with me. That when you came to Christ and you entered into the family, everybody was supposed to, and I hope we do that, but everybody was supposed to, wow, we're so glad you're here. We're just so glad you're here. Can we do anything for you? Can we heat up your milk a little bit? Huh? We're supposed to do that. By the way, all the rest of us, if you're not a baby anymore, you should say amen. You're supposed to be the one that helps with the winds. Huh? Wonder. What's that in Africa? Engels, huh? Shallow. Yeah, wonder. Boom, boom, boom. We're supposed to do that because, hey, babies, they still wet themselves and that's okay. If you still wet yourself here, what I just mean, spiritually speaking here, the reality is we make mistakes. We're still babies. We still got a bit of wings. We still keep the others awake. We've got a lot of questions. And I want to say to the adults for a moment, it's okay if the babies keep you awake. At least they're there. And they're asking you questions. You know, don't complain about that. You know, when there's no more babies in the house, that's a serious problem the church would have. Amen. You can give an amen on that. We should always have babies in the house. We should always have some that cry. We should always have some that, I'll say it again, wet themselves. Or have wings. But it's all about you. And we should be so excited to have you. And you should, when you grow up, be so excited when others are just there and they just came in. We celebrate you. We're so glad. We just tell you, isn't this is the best place in this family. And not just us. Our Father is even more excited about you than us. In actual fact, he's welcome you back home. He say, listen, this is the best place you can be. Some people, they walked in. I remember when I walked into that, when I made that first decision for Christ, I felt so ashamed of my life. I felt so broken. You know, and if you're not going to feel broken, you're always going to look at it differently. But hopefully, I believe all of us, when you look at your own life and when you experience the love of Christ and you enter into that place, then you do ask that question, why me, Lord? And you feel so broken. You feel so ashamed. And you know what the Father is saying? It's okay. I love you. That's the place. The biggest impartation we receive in that growth stage is this. Acceptance. I accept you. You don't have to do anything. Listen, sit here. Babies, if you're a baby, sit here. Just receive the love of the Father. Receive it through the people. Receive it from the Father. But all you need to know right now is that you don't have to do anything to earn anything of that. The Father wants to lay a foundation in your life so that you would forever build upon this phase in your life. That nothing you can ever do for Him will earn anything. But you are accepted today. He has already accepted you. You cannot change the love of the Father this morning. He's shed abroad everything. Romans 15 says He's shed His love abroad in our hearts. And He wants to give more and more of that. And we should be that kind of family in the church that gives that love. And we should receive that. And the Father says, listen, receive it. I love you. Irrespective of your past, welcome home. But there's a but in the story. Father loves you so much that He says you can't stay there. I know it's all about you. I know we're changing your diaper. And I know it's great. But I want to move you on. If you are still, and I must be careful which age I pick, 40 years, and you're still a baby after 20 years, there's serious problems. Father wants to move you on. Do you think it's really His desire to keep you in those diapers forever? See, we're born as children, but we are taught to become servants. Can we go to the next slide there? I want you to notice this. We are born as children. We are taught to become servants. Born. Did you add anything to that? Did you contribute anything to that? No. It was a gift. Father gave it to you. But a servant, being a servant is not a gift. It's a decision you take. It's a response to the Father. It's a response to the invitation. It's a response to our Father that says, listen, let's move on. Now, suddenly, it moves up a level. Now the Father says, oh, listen, look at this. Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. And then Luke 10, verse 10 says this. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Listen, there was an appointment, there was an instruction, and there was people part in this equation. And if we want to unpack this for a moment, I want you to notice this in Luke 10 verse 1 that talks about servanthood. If we want to move on from being a child to being taught a servant, there are certain things that must be present in that process. An appointment or instruction or invitation, all under the same. The Father invites you and me to come and serve. Sometimes somebody will appoint you. And here's the thing. Sometimes we wait for the voice and the thunder from heaven. But God's got the family around us. He's speaking through the family. The invitation, and I want to say this for the record so that there can't be any confusion. I know it for a fact, and maybe you're in another church, maybe you're somewhere else, but in this house, if you're part of this house, listen to me, there is no excuse that you would be able to say, I don't know what to do. Amen? That is a bad excuse to our Father. Sorry to say, that's a bad excuse. To the person that wants to, there will always be something to give. So Jesus would say to His disciples, you go there, to where He was about to go. Where did He send them? He sent them to a city with people. So when we're going to serve, it's always going to involve people. There's never going to be our own desires, whatever we want to accomplish. It's always going to be through people and to people. Amen? You're quiet. Come on. Huh? We're getting there. Yeah. You should be excited to serve people. We should be excited when God gives us opportunity and He sends us. Listen, I'm going to send you to Katima. I'm going to send you to Rundu. I'm going to send you there. I'm going to send you to this because they are people. They are my people. And you should be so expectant to meet them. So what can you give to them? Jesus said to them, I'm sending you into that city, but I'm intending to go there, but I'm sending them, sending you two by two before I'm going. So what is Jesus saying as well? So he sent them, instructed them, and this is the thing that we miss. He came afterwards and he checked up on them. Because he went there himself. Where did you go? No, I went to that couple over there. What did you do there? Okay, let's just talk about what happened there. Some came back and they said to Jesus, Jesus, we prayed for these people, but we couldn't drive out the demons. Okay, no, but you have to fast as well. You can't just discipleship moment, huh? Out of that place of servanthood came a place of discipleship. That's why you will never be able to be fully discipled until you come to that place of serving. Because that creates a platform for being discipled. Because here's the thing, in our serving, we make mistakes. Amen, man. You can clap hands for making mistakes. That's fine. That's fine. Make mistakes. But at least you're doing something. But in the process, somebody's going to tell you, listen, that's okay. Just learn from this process. Because God is with us in this journey. Feedback. Well done. Well done. I want to give a heads up to this worship team this morning for what they've done. Well done. Well done for what you've done this week. Well done for taking time during this week, setting it aside when nobody else, no, sorry, apologies. When somebody, not nobody else, I know you'd be doing other stuff, but when they were practicing on a Thursday evening, when all of us were doing other stuff, maybe you were doing great, I wasn't in the spirit maybe at that moment. What I'm trying to say is they set aside time to prepare for what you received here on a Sunday morning. Even here, before you came here, they were here preparing for you to enter you, to lead you into that place. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you know what? All of us can have that. All of us can have that moment that we can serve. I get excited about serving till this day. It doesn't matter on which platform I am. It doesn't matter what they ask me to do. Because it's not about what I do, it's about to whom I do it. And if you figure that out, you know, you can bring carry cups around and give a coffee to somebody, and you do it with such joy and such passion, man, and you love the people, and you just tell them, listen, God loves you. Can I serve you? Is there anything I can pray for you? Is there anything I can do for you? Man, that creates that place. Create that place for, huh? I know, I should move on. I get stuck in this one. See, the greatest impartation is taking place. The greatest impartation that took place in our childhood phase was acceptance. The next one is obedience. God wants to teach us obedience through our servanthood. Because if you have got people that's going to give you feedback, you sometimes going to get feedback that you do not like. Amen. Or do you always expect good feedback? I know we don't always like that. I know people are different. But I'm one of those that say, give me positive criticism. I would take that. And it's not always easy. Okay? But we need to help one another here. And somebody would tell you, listen, you said we're going to go jogging. And we have to get up 5 o'clock. Where are you? Or where were you? And think about the exercise. It's the same thing. Spiritually speaking, exactly the same. Oh, no. We're going to pray. It's fine. Can I go with you? Yes, yes, we go together. And then the alarm goes off. It happened to me so many times, still to this day. I'm like, what's happening? Sometimes you shoot him a car. You're just like, what happened now? Why is it going off now? And then they're like, oh, it's intercession. And you're like, that first, I almost want to say, those first few seconds is the biggest battle, just to get yourself, move yourself out of the bed and not to think. You just have to act, you know? Anyway, that's just with me. You know, we all get tired. We all feel, you know, we want to do it, and then we are challenged by the natural. We are challenged by our bodies. We are challenged by a lot of that. But we need one another. And that's why there's feedback. And when Jesus came back to them, I've got this prayer that I pray quite often, just purely because I believe this is where God wants to take us and where he's busy with me. And it's just a simple prayer like this. I'm praying this, I'm saying this to the Lord. Lord, make me a man that you can trust. I think about the people around you, and I think about how we relate to one another. I want to be that man that God knows, you know what, I can ask him, He will do it for me. I can trust him. Think about your friend. Sometimes you got stuff to do, but you know, that one I can't ask. He will just be excited when he gets to the doing part. He will just fade away. I mean, do you have such people in your life? Come on, let's be honest here. But we want to be such people. We want to be those people that God can count on. That he says, you know, I can count on that daughter of mine. If I'm going to ask her, she's going to stand. And even though it's tough, she's going to stand. But here's the thing which I discovered in that. It's an easy prayer to pray. It's a difficult one to walk. Okay, it's much easier to pray than to walk. So I figured that one also out. But God help us. When we pray that stuff, we are challenged with two things, of obedience and with sacrifice. To become the man that God wants us to be, or the woman that can be trusted, he will challenge you in your obedience to him, almost to the letter sometimes. And then, as we go up higher, we got to get rid of some stuff so that we can go lighter. I'm looking at a bicycle now. And all my mind is looking at just the bicycle. But here's the thing. The less you get, the more you pay. The bigger the sacrifice. So I figured out. I don't know why it's like that. But if you in this whole thing, you'll see. The lighter the bicycle is, you get less. Okay? Doesn't weigh as, but you pay more. But the higher you go up, almost want to say, sometimes the sacrifice increases. And we think sacrifice, Old Testament, no. God will ask you, leave that behind. That attitude, put it on the altar. And we look at that, we count the cost, and we're like, God, I don't know. That's why Jesus said count the cost. And we're all moving to different places. But I want to encourage you this morning. If you want to become a man that God can trust, you should be the last one on that field when the lights go off, when everybody else leaves. You're the last one standing on that field and say, Jesus, I said yes to you. I'm seriously contemplating on certain things. You know, when you say yes to God in certain areas and you realize that you have to go there alone for the first few moments or weeks or processes, however, because it's a lonely journey. But then God says, I'm going to give you some more people, but you must make sure that you will be able to stand there on your own for the first few moments, because everybody receives a word. So many people receive a word, but then they are blown away. But big resistance, a little bit of resistance, gone. Take a new idea. Give us a new thing, God. But anything that's being born, when God raises us through servanthood, he will take you through those tough stages when you need to make sure you hurt the Lord, and I'm going to stand here, and then the wind is going to come, and the resistance is going to come, and then alongside, God is going to give you more support and more people that's like-minded around you. But you need to make sure that you're going to stand. Otherwise, you'll never develop into the man that God. If we're not going to face, or not being able to face resistance, hey, man, we're in the kingdom of God. It's a fight. Amen. It's a spiritual battle. We're not just taking territory and it's just going to sit back and say, listen, enemy's not just going to say, listen, you can have this place. Come and take it. No, you got to take it. You got to conquer it. The promised land was never conquered in the lounge with the remote. Oops. Can't have it quickly. That's the other problem. I don't want to go down there, down that route. But this quick fix and everything should happen quick, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. This is where we live in this society. A lot of stuff takes time. It takes time to get rid of my bad attitude. Amen. Say amen for me, at least. You can agree with me. Okay, it takes time to get rid of my bad attitude. Okay. If you know yourself, you would know it takes a while sometimes to get rid of that stuff. It doesn't happen with just, I'm not saying God can't do that, but you know, this stuff about, just quickly pray for me, Pastor. I've got this bad attitude and I'm hitting my wife at home, you know, and all of that. Oh, pray for me so that doesn't happen anymore. No, man, come on, wake up. That prayer wouldn't, I can pray for you, but you got to become accountable and stop that and have self-control, okay? And we got to be that to somebody sometimes. Look them into the eyes and say, listen, you're talking nonsense now. Okay, amen. You're talking nonsense now. You're deceived. That is not, you need to work on your character. Let me help you here. Okay, but help them. Okay, because we want to grow through that. It's tough sometimes, eh? Who said it's easy? That's when time is out. We are born as children, taught as being servants, and the last one here this morning, we are being raised as being sons. It's always been the Father's heart that you don't stay a child, that you don't stay a servant, but that eventually become a son in the house. But by your choice. Remember I said, childhood, being a child is a gift. From there onwards, it's all decisions. It's all about saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to invitation, saying yes as he's inviting us to a higher place. John 3, verse 3 to 5, I'm coming back to the scripture I read in the beginning. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter. Seeing, enter. Now Romans 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Okay, it's up there. We've got it up there. You can underline this, and I'm going to give this to you. That word sons in Greek, okay, you can look it up, means it's the Greek word weos, okay. But it means this. I want you to take note of this. Those who is recognized, or one who is recognized by behavior pattern. A lot of times we focus on the spirit part, being led by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. But a son is one that can be recognized by his behavior pattern. And that son will be led by the Spirit of God. So in other words, he's not talking about gifting here. He's talking about character. He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. He's talking about how we behave one another, how we treat one another. If you want to be a son of God, change your attitude, change your character, change your fruit. Not the gifting. The gift was given to you anyway. I'm talking about spiritual gifts now, not the gift of eternal life here. Okay? Your giving, whatever God gave you, a spiritual gift, it was given to you. You got no contribution to that. You just have to grow in that. You can polish that and all of that. That's a different thing. But your fruit, you need to develop that. Character needs to be developed. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, anything that grows overnight is wheat. You've seen in your garden. You look at the garden. Where did this come from? But fruit takes time to develop. And he says this. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, listen, anybody can come into the kingdom of God. He says, being born again. And here's the thing. Many say yes to Jesus. But first, yes. Jesus, I accept you. If you truly open up your heart, you say that in faith, you accept the Jesus, the good news is, you're going to heaven. Okay, but the bad news is, no, I don't know if I should say bad news. If that was the only reason why Jesus said that, there's so much more there. Here's the thing I've seen. Many say yes, and then they park. I've got the insurance policy. I'm covered. Fire insurance. I've got the coverage. I'm going to heaven. But Jesus says this, and he distinguishes here, to those that see the kingdom of God versus those that enter into the kingdom of God. Is he talking about the heavenly kingdom, or is he talking about the kingdom of earth here on earth? He's talking about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So what is he saying to them? Jesus is saying, many will come in. They will see. They will sit here. They will experience. They will experience, or they will have the benefit or the reward of going to heaven. But not everyone will enter into the kingdom of heaven here on earth. How do we enter into the kingdom of heaven? When we become sons by behavior pattern. And what happens when we enter into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus, later in the scripture, explains this. He says, those who rule and reign here already on earth. Do you know what? Life would be so boring. Think about this. I want you to think about this. Life would be so boring if all we had to do is just get people out from there, in here, get them baptized, get them to sit down, and then we just wait for Jesus to come. Then we sing songs on a Sunday. We preach, listen to somebody anyway that sometimes, you know, just finish speaking. I know you sometimes think like that, but it's all right. We listen to all of that and we think, oh, no, we have to go to another cell group. Oh, I have to do Bible school and all of that. Life would be so boring. It would be boring for me, huh? Would you agree? But the kingdom of heaven must come. And Jesus says, those that are willing by their behavior pattern to submit, to surrender, and to sacrifice will enter into that place and rule with me on earth. So there's a distinguishing here. Say, those that will just see, and those will enter. And if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you need to grow up. You need to grow to that place that God can assign responsibility to you and say, there you go. Do that for me, my son, my daughter. And then when you report back, the father can say, well done. Or grow. I saw you missed that, but that's fine. I get so excited about this. I get so excited when I sometimes just drive and I just think about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not just God let your one day come from heaven and just, no, the kingdom of God is taking place here right now. If I'm going to pray, Jesus, let your kingdom come. The first thing, before even people coming into the kingdom of God, it starts here. Change my mindset, Lord, this morning. There are certain things, the way I think, it's not right, Lord. Change it. Change. Let your kingdom come here. But let it not just be something mentally, but something that enters into my heart, Lord. And when it enters into my heart, Lord, let it flow out to my steps, into my hands, into my every being, wherever I am every day. Then the kingdom of God comes. I trust the Lord this morning that we will be a church that won't just see the kingdom of God, but that will enter into the kingdom of God. That people, that sons will be raised up that says, here I am, Lord. You can trust me. Oh, I want to be a man that you can trust. Because here's the thing. I want you to see this pattern. When we were still children, everything was just about us. About you, me. Would you agree? When you've got that little baby, everything, the whole world stops. Dad is suddenly he's in row number 10 at the back there. I mean, all the dads can say amen. That's the truth. Huh? You would know. If you one day get there, you'll know. You feel like sometimes you feel like, God, I get a little bit of attention, but that's, hey, this is the baby's time now. You gotta, and you can understand, mother is, she, it's actually supposed to be like that. But you get your turn later, okay? Just help you. Okay. I jokingly said I didn't change as many diapers and my wife could say amen and that. But anyway, I'm just repenting here. Okay. So we're moving on from being childish, where everything's around you, into servanthood, where everything is around people. Suddenly God moves you away from just you to a place of the others, those around you. Look out for them. Esteem them highest. But then when you get to the final stages, when it's all about becoming a son, being raised up, suddenly it goes up a next level. Now the father says, listen, it's not about you, it's not about them, it's about my business. And when you reach this level, all you can think is, does it bring glory to him? Am I busy expanding his kingdom? It's all about my father. I love you people, I love you, but it's about my father. My highest commitment is not to you this morning. Your highest commitment shouldn't be to me, it should be to God. To my father. Because when you get to that level and you become too radical, you know you're going to challenge some people because they want to keep you there. Don't become too radical. And here's the thing. Sometimes when you enter into that level, you're going to offend people. Yeah. Amen. It's not nice. I don't think we go out there to offend people left, right, and center. But when the father says, listen, we got to go this direction, and the majority of the crowd says, no, stay here, guess what? You got to make a decision. Am I going to please my father, or am I going to please the crowd? And for us as a church in this nation, let's look at it that collectively. The majority can say, listen, marginalize you, just calm down. Or we're going to be a radical church that says, listen, we want to please our father. We're not looking for the approval of people. The father would challenge you in your relationship and the fear of man when you get to that level. Your fear of God must be much higher when you enter into that level. You should feel nothing, I almost want to say. This is tough to say that even, because it seems like I say, don't love people, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying my commitment to him is the highest commitment I have. His business. His business. Allow God to sort that out. But you must be willing to put that relationship on the altar. And if it's from God, and if that person's got the Spirit of God inside of him, he will see the Spirit of God inside of you, even though it challenges him. Because sometimes, here's the thing, when, in another sense, God is saying that he's raising up a lot of radical sons in the house. But sometimes those sounds scare the living daylights out of us because they're so radical. You're like, just calm down, man. You're just too busy. Don't just come, huh? Because you feel kind of guilty that you are not as active as him. And the problem we make is we want to break them down so that we can at least feel good. And that's wrong. We should boost them. We should just go further. Just go further. Can I help you? And that's the people that God wants to raise up in this last generation. Amen. Bill Johnson said this. Intimacy with God is my life source. Baby, you learn intimacy. Huh? Servanthood is my assignment. And royalty is my identity. Man, this last stages, it's all about the authority of God. You get to that final stage of being a son and you realize it's not about all of this. This is about my Father. And all the Father says, you know, you're my son now. And if you can turn your heart towards me and everything is about me, I give you authority to walk in authority. We have pure authority when our hearts and mind are purely to that place of the Father. Why would the Father give his authority away to waste it on stuff around here building a kingdom that is not his kingdom? He gives authority to you and me that says, here I am, Lord. Everything. I surrender. Whatever it might be, Lord. It's all about his business. See, sons will always realize. I'm going to reverse this thing now as I close. Sons will always realize that they must be servants. You can never separate yourself from servant today. Even though you're a son in the house, even though you've grown up, the Father will still ask you to serve. A servant will always realize that he once was a child, or a son will always realize that I'm a child of God. He's my Father. And I was born into this, and I'm still to this day thankful for what he's done for me. I'll never forget that, hopefully. But a child, I want you to listen to this. A child doesn't necessarily grow to become a servant because there wasn't choice involved. And a servant doesn't never necessarily being raised to become a son in the house because there was a choice involved. So I've got one question as we close here this morning for you. Could there be a missing link in your growth process this morning because of a fear of surrendering? Let's close our eyes. Every eye closed. For a moment, I want you just to think about this. I don't know every single one of you, but I do want to give you opportunity. I explained to you earlier on about this process of becoming a child of God. Maybe you never entered into that phase. You grew up in a religious environment, but you never came to that place of complete surrender, say, Jesus, here I am. That place of being born again. That place of, here I am, Jesus. Take my life. I surrender to you. If that's you, while nobody's looking around, I want to give you the opportunity. I want to pray with you this morning. I want to lead you into a prayer that will take you to that place where you can surrender your life to Jesus. If that's you, would you just kindly slip up your hand? Nobody's looking around. I'm going to pray with you. Say, Jesus, here I am. I want to surrender my life to you this morning. I want to give you my everything. I want to give you access, Lord, to my life, to my decisions. I surrender to you this morning. Since there are two people battling here this morning. Please. Thank you, Jesus. I can see your hand. Thank you. I can see your hand. Holy Spirit says, wait a little bit longer. Wait a little bit longer before I'm going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, that you know that you've never surrendered your life, you never entered into that first phase. Listen, you can't bypass that. Jesus said it very clearly to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must become like a child. You must get to that place. And you know that you need to make a decision this morning. You hear that still small voice here that says, that is you. You know that. Don't you want to raise your hand quickly before I'm going to pray? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for everyone that says, here I am this morning, Lord. pray for everyone that's busy surrendering right now, Lord. God, that we wouldn't pray or stay at a place of just sight, but that we would enter in. And I want to pray for some here this morning. A couple of weeks ago, I prayed a prayer. I made an invitation, and I said to some of you, if you want to become a man of faith, if you would remember that service 2-3 weeks ago, just for a moment, just raise your hand. And I believe there's follow-up on that. You sit here this morning and you say, Jesus, I want to become a son that you can trust. I want to become a man that you can trust. I want to become a woman that you can trust. One that you can rely upon. It's a process that's going to start. I don't know exactly how it looks, but the Holy Spirit would lead you. God would honor that prayer. If you purely pray that from your heart this morning, He's going to direct your steps. He's going to show you where to commit. He's going to show you where to say yes to, but it will still be your decision. But He's going to activate something in your life. He's going to open up your ears and eyes to see the moment you ask Him that. But it's by choice. If that's you, for a moment, I want you to stand with me as I'm going to pray that prayer. God, I want to be a man that you can trust. I want to be a woman that you can trust. Start this process in my life this morning. Assign me. Give me responsibility, Lord. Increase my influence, but for your kingdom's sake, Lord. For nothing else, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. There's more, Lord. There's more. There's a battle going on right now, Lord. And there's no condemnation in this house. I want to say that. It comes from a place of pure desire. Not from a place of guilt. Please, please, please don't go from a place of guilt. Just purely from a place. This is my desire. I'm standing here with you this morning. I'm praying this to my Father continuously. Because I notice how easily we can slip. How easily we miss it. But Father, Father, this is my prayer this morning for each and everyone that says, here I am this morning, Lord. Make us men and women that you can trust. Sons in this house, Lord. Father, I pray that there will be radical sons in this house, Lord. That would be able to go to extreme lengths. Might not just be able, Lord, but willing, Lord. Father, I pray for a willingness over this. Oh, Father, like never before, Father. A willingness to engage, a willingness to go to places, Father, that you've called us, Father. That others say no, we will say yes, Lord. But Father, remind us of these words. Remind us of this commitment. Remind us this morning of this God moment, Lord. May it not just be a moment, a nice moment, Lord. May it be a Joshua moment, Lord, at that river, Lord, that we would ever be able to look back and say that was a memorial stone in our lives where you set in motion, Lord, a lot of events, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, we want to advance into the promised land, but we know this morning, Lord, that we know that, Lord Jesus, it wouldn't come without resistance. And Father, I pray for everyone standing here, Lord. Activate their faith, Father, their faith levels to go up to the next level, Lord. Wherever you're taking us, Father, we cannot go there in our own strength. Not with the opinion of man, Lord, but with your words, Lord. Speaking to us, Lord, and that we would believe that and that our faith levels would rise like never before. Hallelujah. Maybe for a moment you can just, where you stand, let's the rest of us, let's all stand. We're going to end with one more song. Maybe you just want to do business with God for a moment. Maybe you just need to tell Him stuff that's personal that you just want to tell Him. Maybe stuff that He says, leave it there, and you just want to talk to Him. But as we close here this prayer, you know that you know. I don't know. But God knows. And He's going to take you up on that word and that commitment. The Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.